If you're able, please stand for the reading of the scriptures, the gospel. This is gospel according to Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 17. Let us hear the word of the Lord. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this: the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted into the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me also rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Grant us understanding and application in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, you know, our house phone is listed in the directory. Our house phone is on the door outside here. And our house phone is a waste of time to call because we don't answer it. In 3 years, we've had maybe five calls on that house phone for us. And we get it off the answer machine, or a couple times I was able to catch it. But, you know, if that phone rings, Bonnie can be sitting right next to it, and she won't even look at it. She won't even touch it. If it rings and I'm sitting near it, I'll look at the caller ID, and sometimes I'll just snatch it up and say hello. And 99 times out of 100, I kid you not, you say hello, and then there's that pause, and then finally somebody comes on and says, "Oh, hello there." And there's all this noise in the background like they're in an office. "Yeah, right. Give me a break." "Hello, is David there?" "No, he's no longer here. Hasn't been here for 3 years." "Oh, well, maybe you can help me." "No, I really can't." And then it's some kind of sales pitch. You know, "Do you want to buy this? Do you want to buy that?" Then you love the other ones that come on and you say hello and you wait and you say hello again. And there's a click, and the voice says, "Is this Jack?" "No." Click. "Well, then maybe you can help me. I'd like to offer you," and, you know, I get some salespeople on there. I just talk. I'll say, "Well, wait a minute. How's your day been going? Yeah, do you live far from work? What did you have to eat today for lunch?" And finally, they get tired, and they hang up, so. I know, bad boy. They're just trying to earn a living, right? Driving the rest of us crazy. But we don't pay a lot. Now, if you call my cell phone or you call Bonnie's cell phone, you'll get an answer all the time. So that's the thing. That my cell phone's right in the bulletin anytime, day or night. God is calling us. And not just a chat. God loves to chat with us, but God is calling us to get involved. He's got work for us to do. In Luke chapter 10 here, verse 1, it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place he was about to go to. Now that, my brothers and sisters, is called laying good groundwork. Many years ago, after the steel mills collapsed and I got out of that, I got a job working in construction. A friend of mine, the two of us, we went around doing a lot of construction work, and then I got working for a company out of this one church. They did subcontracting, and we put up some buildings and stuff and remodeled some things. And the key to success is always a good foundation. If your foundation is off a little bit, then that problem will compound itself and it will just fall apart. So a good foundation is important. And so Jesus is sending these ministers of the gospel, preachers, evangelists, ambassadors, two by two, out to prepare the people for him. He's going out and have them lay the groundwork, telling them to get ready because Jesus is coming. Good groundwork. In verse 2, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. What is it that the Lord is harvesting? He's harvesting not wheat, not grain, not wheat, not corn, I mean. He's harvesting souls, harvesting people. Jesus wants us, you and I, who are the workers, to harvest souls and people for salvation. We are to introduce them to Jesus. We are to be Christ to them so that they will see Jesus in us, so that they will want what we have. Matthew 28 tells us this is what Jesus wants us to do. Matthew 28 says to go into the whole world, baptize every nation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. The world is the harvest field. The world is the harvest field that's all around us. We are in it right now. When we go home, we're in it. When we go out to shop and out to eat, to visit friends, when we go to work, we are in the harvest field. And the work that needs to be done is all around us. Souls need to be saved. And what are the tools that we are to use for harvesting? Gifts of the Holy Spirit, prayer, the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, church, ministry, Sunday school, Bible studies. These are the things that give us the tools that we need in order to harvest souls, in order to reach people for Jesus, in order to let them see Christ in us, to know how to do that, to be better at it, to outwit the enemy, to overcome obstacles. We learn that. We are given that, gifts from the Holy Spirit. These are what we need to work in the harvest field. Before ministry, Bonnie and I attended Port View United Methodist Church. And we were there when Billy Graham came to Pittsburgh. How many of you went to see Billy Graham? And it wasn't anybody in the first service, or maybe it was just people refused to put their hand up or anything. But when Billy Graham, before he came to Pittsburgh, he had a program that he implemented in all the area churches all around Pittsburgh. And it was a 90-day prayer vigil. And every Saturday night and other nights of the week, we would meet in church and pray, spend time in intentional prayer for the revival that Billy Graham was going to be conducting. He was laying good groundwork, a good foundation. The revival was going to be there before Billy Graham got there because of all the prayer. And so Jesus sent the 72 people out two by two to lay good groundwork, to plant seeds of hope and faith and love. That's the harvest. Now, how do we go about preparing for the harvest? We get the tools. We've got our marching orders. We see the harvest field around us. Then the next thing we do is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. We put on the armor of God. Because there's an enemy out there who doesn't want us to work in the harvest field. But we need to do it because souls need to be saved. Time's growing short. So we put on the armor of God. And here as a church, we make disciples for Jesus Christ. And then we send those workers out into the harvest field to spread the gospel. There was a little boy who went to visit his grandparents out in the country, you know, and he loved going out to his grandparents' house. And this particular time, he went into the living room and he saw the great big old family Bible. And so he opened it up and he was just fascinated going through all the old pages and looking at old pictures and reading the list of names of family members from way back when. And as he was flipping through the pages, something fell out onto the floor. He bent down and he picked it up, and it was a leaf that had been pressed between the pages. And he called out, "Hey, Mama, look what I found." And his mother came into the room, and she goes, "Well, what do you have there?" And with astonishment in his voice, the little boy said, I think it's Adam's underwear. Okay, that had nothing to do with the sermon. I just wanted to see who was paying attention. But God is calling us to get involved because we live in a harvest field, a field that is ripe unto harvest, ripe unto harvest. That means people are desperate. They want to hear the good news. People want salvation. They are looking desperately for something to make them feel whole and complete, and they're trying all the wrong things. Drugs, sex, violence, grabbing the brass ring, gathering up possessions. You and I have the answer. The field is ripe unto harvest. So let me ask you, what is God calling you to do? Do you think it's an accident that you're here today? No way. Is God calling you to lead a Bible study, maybe to fold bulletins, push a broom, clean toilets at church, maybe organize some events, maybe being part of the visitation team, maybe making phone calls, sending out cards, feeding the hungry, helping with the giveaway, etc., etc. We sure have plenty of opportunities for you to plug in and get involved. What is God calling you to do? The harvest field is ripe. It is white, just overflowing, ready to be harvested. It needs us to step out in faith. Who needs to hear from you? God is not calling us to sit and do nothing. I'll guarantee you that. Every one of us is called to get involved, to answer the phone. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, Hannah, who was barren, she went to the temple, and she is just pouring out her heart to God. Hannah is. Hannah wants children so bad. And she is up at the altar, and she is begging and pleading and praying to God. And Eli, the old priest, he's standing in the back saying, "This woman must be drunk." And he goes up and he starts yelling at her for being drunk here early in the day in the temple. And she says, "I'm not drunk." She goes, "I'm begging and pleading with God for a child." And Eli says, "You're going to have what you want. Go home. You've got what you want." She goes home and she has a child, Samuel. And she promises God that she will dedicate her child to the Lord, that she will leave him at the temple to be raised. And so she weans the child, takes Samuel to the temple, gives him to Eli to be raised up as a servant of the Lord, spend his whole life there in the temple. As Samuel begins to grow. One night he goes to bed and he hears somebody say, "Samuel, Samuel." And he gets up and he runs down into Eli's room and he says, "You called? What do you want?" And Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And so Samuel went back to bed. And as soon as he started to go to sleep, he heard his voice. He heard his voice say, "Samuel, Samuel." And he gets up and he runs back to Eli's room and he says, "What is it? You called me." The old priest said, "No, it wasn't me. Go back to bed." Samuel goes back to bed and then he hears it again. "Samuel, Samuel." And he runs into Eli's room and he says, "What is it? I heard you call me. Heard you call my name." And Eli realized what was going on. He said, "Go back to bed, and this time when you hear your name being called, you say, 'Here I am, Lord. Speak, for your servant is listening.'" Samuel did that. He answered the phone when God called. He became the last great judge of Israel. After that, they wanted a king. He changed the world, though, for them because he answered the phone, because he said yes to God. What is God calling you to do? And I pray that that question gnaws at you day and night until you get honest with yourself, until you get honest with God. You can't say, "I've done enough." You can't say, "I'm retired." There's no retirement in the Bible, not from the work of God. What is it that God is calling you to do? It may not be here in the church, may be something at home or at work. But the phone's ringing. I think it's time to pick it up. God loves you, and so do I.